Art collectors and museums around the country are watching the case of the Barnes Foundation. The Barnes houses what might be the most valuable private art collection in the world, worth billions of dollars, but the foundation is broke. Three philanthropies have offered to bail the Barnes out if it will move its art to a more tourist-accessible location in downtown Philadelphia, but that would break the trust of founder Albert Barnes. The foundation's attorneys have spent the last 2 weeks trying to convince a Pennsylvania court to allow that move, Joel Rose of member station WHYY reports.
At 40,000 square feet, the Barnes Foundation is a relatively small gallery on a quiet street in a Philadelphia suburb. But what happens to the foundation's collection of Picassos, Matisses, and Renoirs could have very big implications.
This is where what many people see as a tiny, inconsequential art world spat spills over into the real world.
Eric Gibson is the arts and leisure editor of the Wall Street Journal. In an editorial last week, Gibson wrote that the Barnes case raises important questions about how art museums honor the intent of their donors.
If these private individuals begin to think that the paper that they sign the agreement on is going to be torn up, then they may have second thoughts. You know, they may say, well, if a museum wants something of mine, they're going to have to buy it. I'm off to Sotheby's.
That's a thought that's occurred to Cleveland attorney and art collector Robert Jackson. Jackson says he's trying to decide what to do with his collection of African tribal art. He says he's considered giving it to the Cleveland Museum of Art, where he's a member of the accessions committee.
Some of it they would want, some they won't. I said, you can't cherry pick.
Jackson is still looking for a museum, not an auction house, that will take his entire collection. But he's also worried about what will happen after he's gone.
Can the museum, after so many years, decide because they had a change in mission or they just need some money that they can sell my material? This is a problem that all museums have, to how to deal with donors. That's the issue that really this Barnes case has, I think, before it.
The Barnes Foundation will likely wind up deviating from its donors' wishes. The question that's been debated in court is how much. Barnes officials want to move the art to a new $100 million gallery, but some say that should only be a last resort. Marie Malaro, former head of the Museum Studies Department at George Washington University, testified that the move would be a mistake.
Unless the board can definitely claim that they have no other alternative, and I believe that there are plenty of assets there for the board to carry out its true mission.
Those assets include property and artworks that are not on display. They've been appraised at somewhere between $25 and $40 million. Opponents of the move would rather see the Barnes sell some of this material than move its collection to Center City. Barnes trustee Stephen Harmelin says the board considered deaccessioning, as it's known, but decided against it.
There's something terribly irrevocable about selling works of art. There would be no chance ever to bring them back home to the Barnes collection, and we were given a better alternative.
Either alternative would overturn some of the donors' wishes. Albert Barnes specified that art in the gallery could not be sold, lent, or even rearranged after his death. No matter what happens, says the Wall Street Journal's Eric Gibson, it's likely to scare potential donors.
If Barnes's trust is broken, I don't see how any present or future donor to any museum can be confident that at some point down the road, that museum won't hire a lawyer of its own to break whatever agreements have been entered into with them.
That may be going a bit far, says New York Trust attorney William Zabel. He says well-advised donors have a way of making sure that their wishes are honored.
We call it the sword of Damocles clause. We have a provision in one gift we made for another client to a museum that if they ever deaccession or if they change the way it's placed in the room that she gave, the whole collection will move to a different museum.
Those kinds of conditions drive museum directors crazy, according to Bruce Katzeff, director of the Michener Museum in Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
The problem, of course, that museums have all the time is a donor who says, I'll give you this painting, but I want it hung in this prominent location. I want a promise from the museum that it will always be hung, and I want a promise that the museum will never deaccession it. So it is this continuing problem of folks attempting to be the hand from the grave that controls the future in perpetuity.
That's just what former U.S. Ambassador to Britain Walter Annenberg did in the early 1990s, says the Wall Street Journal's Eric Gibson. Gibson interviewed Annenberg at the time and says the philanthropist attached conditions to more than 50 paintings he gave to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. But at the same time, Annenberg was supporting a plan to sell paintings from the Barnes collection to raise money.
I said, Mr. Ambassador, on the one hand, you're the driving force behind the Barnes's plan to sell paintings to pay its bills. and yet you have just concluded this agreement with the Metropolitan Museum that prohibits them from selling any of your paintings ever. How do you reconcile that? And he said, well, if anybody ever tried to sell any of my paintings, I would rise up from the grave and smite them. He saw no contradiction in this.
Today, the Annenberg Foundation is one of three philanthropies pushing for the Barnes move. Unless the late Albert Barnes rises up from the grave, the court will have to decide what to do with his collection. A ruling is expected in about a month. For NPR News, I'm Joel Rose.